here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
So to all Christians celebrating the resurrection with us, Michelle and I want to wish you a blessed and happy Easter.
The resurrection of Christ is not some symbol about how things keep living on, death to life and the great circle of life. The resurrection is the antidote to death itself.
We've got over 3,000 people at St. Patrick's Cathedral this morning. You'd think 1 Timothy Dolan would be happy, but I'm jealous because 1 Timothy Tebow has 25,000 in Texas.
And I'm just so blessed to have a platform that, you know, when cameras are rolling, that they can't just turn it off and they have to hear me say, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steelworker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues Etc. all day long.
It occurred to me a couple of weeks ago when I was preparing for Easter preaching that it's really easy to take a big thing for granted in Easter preaching. It's very easy to miss something so obvious that the preacher might get down out of the pulpit after a Easter sermon or two, having not preached the death of Jesus. Now you say, how could you possibly preach the resurrection of Jesus from the dead without preaching the death of Jesus? But you've heard it done before, haven't you? You've heard the pastor proclaim, he is risen indeed, and that's true. Maybe even say he's risen from the dead, but without proclaiming the death that came before the resurrection. It's the death that counts for our sins. And the resurrection is vindication of that sacrifice. It is, I guess we could say in kind of basic terms, God's yes to Jesus' sacrifice at the cross. So we're going to do a little sermon review on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 10th. We are back live with you this afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, and we're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. We'll be doing a little sermon review of an Easter sermon preached Sunday by Dr. Scott Murray of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. See if he preaches not only the resurrection of Jesus, but also the death and resurrection of Jesus for Easter. A little bit later in this first hour of the program, since we are back live and we've been off for, well, I guess more than a week of broadcast, check in with the Issues Etc. comment line, see what you, our listeners, have to say there with show suggestions, comments, questions. Then a little bit later, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will join us. We'll talk about the war on women. What's the real war on women in the United States? We hear in the media that the war on women is coming from people that don't want women to have reproductive freedom. What's the real front line on the war on women? Then in the second hour of the program, since we're just coming off of Easter, and it is still the Easter season for, well, a number of weeks ahead, I've got a question for you for the entire second hour. Audio open lines, your chance to answer the question, what is your favorite Easter hymn and why? Now, there is no shortage of Easter hymns, and you probably know many of them by heart. What's your favorite Easter hymn and why? You can give us a call in hour two of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email with your favorite Easter hymn and why. Let us know where you're listening. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can vote in advance. Well, I guess I call it voting. Not really voting. You're just telling us what your favorite Easter hymn is and why. At our Facebook fan page, we've left space for you to do so. facebook.com/issuesetc. facebook.com/issuesetc. That's hour two of Issues Etc. What's your favorite Easter hymn and why? Audio open lines. Now, I mentioned just a minute ago that a good preaching year-round, but especially on Easter, is going to have to cover, and most pastors, because it's Easter, because it's difficult to get through Easter unless you deny the resurrection without preaching the resurrection, even churches that don't observe 1 second of the church year except Easter and Christmas will preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday. That you kind of have to. It's cultural pressure to do so. Sometimes the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ gets short shrift every other Sunday, but on Easter they'll do it. Is it the death and resurrection of Jesus or simply the resurrection of Jesus? Kind of an historical oddity, but why did he die? Why did he have to die? Why was he on that cross? Why was he in that tomb that he emerged from after 3 days? As we do this sermon review, I want you to follow along with us in our regular sermon diagnostic that we use every time we review a sermon. It's based upon some sound scripture. Now, you know Paul's famous words. You probably heard them read yesterday from 1 Corinthians 15, where he says, if Christ is not raised, then we are of all men most to be pitied. He's talking about the resurrection there. The very same Paul, about 13 chapters earlier, said, we determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. Now, Paul was not denying the resurrection, but the important thing that Jesus did for us that must come before his resurrection is his crucifixion, is his sacrifice at the cross. And Paul says, what I preach to you is Christ and him crucified. Jesus himself charges his disciples in Luke chapter 24 that all this happened, that Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise. It sounds like an Easter sermon in the works. And then he says, and repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So when you're listening to a sermon, not only an Easter sermon, but in any Sunday sermon, you should be listening for Christ and him crucified. That brings us to our diagnostic. The first part is, how often is Jesus mentioned? You probably heard Jesus preached on Easter Sunday. Kind of hard not to do that. But every other sermon, and including the one that we're going to be reviewing here on this Tuesday afternoon, how often is Jesus mentioned? You keep a running tally of how often you hear Jesus specifically mentioned by the preacher. Now, he could be mentioned a few times, maybe at the end, maybe at the beginning, maybe smattered in the middle. But you're looking for a plethora of mentions of Jesus, as many as a pastor can pack into a sermon. And if Jesus is mentioned numerous times, then go on to part two of the diagnostic, and that is, is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Is Jesus the one doing the action, doing the verbs, running the verbs, as they say, in this sermon? Or is he kind of a bystander in the sermon and you're the one who's doing everything? And that kind of gets you to, is the sermon about you or about Jesus? Then, if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, what are the verbs? Is this the Jesus that does suffer and rise again on the third day, that does bring repentance and the forgiveness of sins, or the Jesus who rises to kind of show you that life goes on, to inspire you to wake up tomorrow, kind of like you're rising from the dead and start anew, and greet each morning like a fresh start, and he's there to kind of root for you and cheer you on. One is the Jesus of Scripture, and the other one is just, well, like that's the Jesus of some preacher's imagination, isn't it? So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he a subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? So here's the sermon, preached Sunday by Dr. Scott Murray of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. His text is the famous ending of Mark, where Mark tells his story of the women coming to the tomb, finding no Jesus, and it ends with those verses at verse 8, they were afraid.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. From St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" This is our text. Caught as they were in a riptide of history, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary think that they still needed to perform proper funeral rites for the dead body of their master. Their tradition required it to keep the smell of decaying flesh from pervading the tomb. The Sabbath rest was over. They were launched into a last day, even though they didn't know it. What the church now calls the eighth day. The last day, the first day of the week, is the day after the seventh. Jesus is crucified on the sixth before the Sabbath. He's laid in the tomb before sundown, before the Sabbath Passover began, the seventh day. He fulfills his promise by resting in his tomb and thus giving ultimate rest to the sons and daughters of Eve. On the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Christ rested from all the work that he had done in recreating the universe in his suffering and death. And he hallowed now the true Sabbath by resting in his tomb, that our rest might be a participation in his life.
We'll take a little break. When we come back, we'll review more of this Easter sermon preached Sunday by Dr. Scott Murray of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. He's got Jesus resting on the Sabbath, fulfilling the Sabbath in its completion so that he might give us rest and life. We'll hear more of it when we come back.
Here's a special offer for Issues, Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of Issues, Etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. Issues, Etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, kicking off the first day of live broadcasting here after Easter with you on this Tuesday afternoon, doing a little Easter sermon review, a sermon preached by Dr. Scott Murray of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. So far, at least according to the diagnostic we use during these sermon reviews, he's doing very well. Jesus is all over this sermon. I don't know why preachers find this so difficult to preach Jesus. Now, like I said before, they don't find it difficult on Easter Sunday. It's hard not to. You'd have to really try. I don't know why they try so hard to avoid Jesus every other Sunday. Some preachers, not all preachers. But it's very simple. What comforts us in the face of death? What comforts us on Easter? What comforts us every Sunday is an Easter? What should comfort sinners every Sunday? None other than what Jesus has done for us in his death and resurrection. That's what Jesus expects his church to be preaching. So to recap, so far Dr. Murray's talked about, he's making the connection between the Old Testament Sabbath, its origins on the seventh day of creation when God rested from all his labors in the first creation, and how God is now resting in the tomb on the Sabbath from all his labors in the new creation. I think that's a very valid connection to make. In fact, I think it's an obvious connection to make. What does this mean then? That Christ has rested from all his labors and on the third day, we usually say, first day of the week. Well, is it the first day or is it the eighth day? A whole new week, a whole new calendar, a whole new world that Christ has created by conquering death and rising again to life. Let's hear more of the sermon.
Now he comes forth on the day after the seventh, the eighth day. The day signed by that eight-sided baptismal font that is the tradition of the church. It is the day of unending rest. History began when Adam became liable to death. And history ended when Adam, that new Adam, Christ our Lord, came forth triumphant over death. Now we no longer count the dead. Now we only know Christ, the life of all the living. We've come forth from the New Testament circumcision of the heart from the font of the eighth day. Christ rested in his tomb on the Sabbath. He rose again on the day that follows the Sabbath, which is the eighth day. After it, no other day is counted. No other day even matters. We now live in the presence of him who lives in the eternal now. He is, he was, and he is to come. This is what the writer of the Hebrews is talking about when he says, God appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from all his works as God did from his. Christ's death, rest, and new life bring a decisive end to history, and along with that end comes an end to the law itself. We enter the Sabbath rest to rest from all our works as God rested from his. So Jesus, the God who creates heaven and earth and grants the provisional seventh day rest of the Old Testament, when he comes into the world, says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Now, so far, I think what we find is a great theology, a great way of connecting the Old and the New Testament, the fulfillment of the Sabbath. In fact, this must be the fulfillment of the Sabbath. This must be the way Christians see Christ's rest in the tomb. It's not an accident that he rests on the Sabbath in the tomb, that he's dead over the Sabbath in the tomb. It's intentional. It is already written in the promise of God when God creates the world in 7 days. The Sabbath was established for precisely this reason, to foreshadow Christ's rest in the tomb and the new creation that would come forth, that he would bring forth out of that tomb when he emerged alive. So far, great theology. Now, one might say, well, this is an interesting way of looking at Easter. It's an interesting and compelling way of thinking about Easter. But what does it mean that we have, as Christians, have been given rest by Christ himself? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, notice I didn't say, what does this mean for you, or what does this mean for me? What does it mean, period? The for you and the for me are all fine and good, but this has meaning in and of itself. Things have changed. The resurrection of Jesus isn't a symbol that we have to somehow decipher and then we derive meaning from it. It has a meaning that permeates our lives in and of itself. The situation, reality, or as Dr. Murray is saying in the sermon, creation has been changed by Christ permanently. And death is no longer part of the equation now that Christ has been raised.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The fact is, there never was any other way to find rest than to find it in him who has created the unending eighth day by his glorious resurrection. The law had worked all of its worst upon him. That law is justice itself. And all of its wrathful authority against sin was worked unto death in the one who could not die and did. Though his arms were pinned to the cross in the embrace of death, he still was able to take the law by the throat. He looked it in the face and did it to death with him. If the law is dead and is left among the grave clothes so neatly folded up in the tomb, then the law's requirements no longer apply to us. It is the garbage of the sepulchre. We're free. Free in Christ. The women wondered who would roll the stone away. This is amazing. You see, they needn't have worried. Oh, humans, we worry. We wonder who will roll the stone of our capital campaign uphill. Will we get to 3 million? I know the choir certainly hopes so. They're all crammed in like sardines up there. Did wonder if they wouldn't have an effigy choir member pushed off the balcony today in service. It's amazing, though. We've worried about the wrong thing, haven't we? Who will roll the stone aside? What foolishness we humans participate in.
we needn't have worried any more than the women who were going to the tomb. For the Lord has set us free from the law by his death and his glorious resurrection. There's no more coercion. There's no more law. There are no rules. There are no requirements. There's no demand. There's only a new life. A new life in Christ. You see, we're free. Why? Because the Lord rolls the stone. Not us. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
All right, that's a sermon preached on Easter Sunday by Dr. Scott Murray of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Jesus, mentioned many times all over the sermon. Is he the subject of the verbs? Well, most definitely. I mean, you can't get more decisive than Jesus is the one who has effected all the work, taken the law by the throat, done it to death in perfect obedience to God, and rested and conquered death. He has emerged from the tomb alive and unscathed by death so that he might give us the new life, the new creation. So yes, he most certainly is the subject of the verbs, and thanks be to God, they're all the right verbs. When we come back, we've been gone from live broadcast for a while, so we'll hear what you have to say on the Issues Etc. comment line. Stay tuned.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Sarah Palin was ridiculed by the media for talking about death panels in Obamacare, but she was right. Now a former president of the American Medical Association agrees. Dr. Donald Palmisano said independent payment advisory boards, consisting of 15 officials, will be empowered to cut billions of dollars from Medicare to keep expenses under control. As a matter of fact, he said they'll be required to do so when spending exceeds limits. Dr. Palmisano said this will result in these boards, or death panels as Governor Palin calls them, rationing health care to the elderly. Unless the Supreme Court intervenes with Obamacare, it'll cause the premature deaths of countless elderly Americans. This is all the more reason to pray for the Supreme Court justices as they consider Obamacare.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. through the charitable grant program Thrive and Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrive and Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues, etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.